ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9, HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 97.9 HD2, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Let's head out to the HRP listener line before we talk about the Texans' agenda. Marcus, you're with Jeremy and Joe. What's going on, Marcus?
What's up, fellas? I was looking at the draft combine this past week, and I want to get you guys' opinion. If you had to put your GM hat on, do you think Mendoza is worth the number one overall pick, seeing the defensive talent that could potentially be great players? Would you trade that pick? If you're Las Vegas, seeing how many holes you have, you might lose Max Crosby. And think about the potential draft picks and the talent you can get. Or would you take him over the field? And I wanted to get you guys' opinion on that, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Marcus. I like Mendoza. I don't know if it was – if he was in next year's class, I'm not sure he'd be this like runaway number one overall pick. I was surprised to hear, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah, say that he has Mendoza with a higher grade than he had both for Stroud and Bryce Young coming out when they came out into the draft. But I would take him because you need a quarterback, and how often are you going to have the number one pick? Like, to me, it's one of those where you kind of just got to do it. And
yeah.
If you're going to trade Crosby and you can get what you're reportedly asking for, which is two first-round picks, then you can use that draft capital to fill other spots on your roster.
I've seen some big boards that have Mendoza as the number one prospect in this draft,
yeah,
which big boards don't account for the position. Like, they just count where you stack up relative to the rest of the draft class, which I was a little surprised to see that. You know, I thought some of the defensive players would be higher than Mendoza. In some draft boards, they are. Big boards, they're higher than Mendoza. To me, it's case by case, Marcus, and it comes down to how you feel about the QB. Like, if you have doubts about the QB, but he's, like, highly valued around the league, then trade that sucker. Mm-hmm. If you have belief in the quarterback, I agree with what Joe said, where, you're like, you got to take the quarterback. I like Mendoza. I don't look at Mendoza as like this unbelievable prospect to where if I got blown away for the number one pick that I would be tempted to trade it. Because I don't look at Mendoza as like I have to have my hands on that guy.
Yeah.
Like I think Mendoza is going to be a good piece. Like I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I don't look at him as like this great quarterback in the NFL where I just have to have him. So if somebody came and just blew me away, I would be very tempted.
Yeah, like if the Jets called you and said, hey, we're going to move one spot and give you 16 and one of our two firsts we have next year,
yeah,
for the number one pick, and you can then go sign Kyler Murray for now,
right,
the vet minimum at $1.3
million. Well, I don't think it'll be the vet minimum.
Well, no, that's all he needs now. That's
Kyler?
That's all he's going to sign for. All of his money's guaranteed.
Oh, okay. So he's gonna take care of his new team?
Yeah, that's what people are speculating.
Well, that's nice.
So, like, if you could get that.
The Texans should sign him as a backup.
if you could get Kyler for $1.3 million and three first-round picks to move back one spot,
yeah,
I'm saying yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, I think Mendoza is going to be a good prospect, like, good quarterback. I think he's good. Like, I think I believe that my view on Mendoza is probably slightly higher than, like, a football fan's view of Mendoza. Like, so I'm not down on him at all. But at the same time, I don't think he's ever going to be like a top five quarterback.
Yeah, I think he can be.
I think he's going to be like a very, very, not that this is my player comp, but I think he's going to have this Jared Goff trajectory.
Which you can win with.
Yeah,
if
sure.
You build everything else around him.
Yeah.
And that's where the Raiders are in a bad spot because they're a roster with not a lot of talent on it, frankly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is Bowers and Genty, and that's kind of it if they move on from Crosby. Like, they've got a lot of work to do to turn that thing around, but you got a new coach. You hired an offensive – I think also, too, not to say that they only hired Kubiak because they were drafting a quarterback first overall.
Right.
But it kind of feels like they hired Kubiak because they're taking a quarterback first overall. Like maybe you go in a different direction.
Was that bad, though? Like, you always want an offensive-minded coach.
No. It's just if you were going to pass on it now, it's just I don't know if the hire makes as much sense if you got a call now.
Oh, yeah. Well, Yeah, okay. They could go either way, I think, but that's fine. I am intrigued by that offense, though, if they get – like, what if they just trade into the back end of the first round and draft one of these receivers who could slip? That's like a bona fide, you know, first-round receiver.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know where – I don't think Tyson's going to slip. All no, the other like, guys are higher than him.
Like Denzel Boston, people yeah. really like. You know, yeah, if you
I don't
can
know
go
if he's a
first-rounder.
Concepcion?
Yeah,
I don't know if he's a first-rounder either. Like, he's a first-rounder in the way that Xavier Worthy was a first-rounder. You know, like, I don't think I'm trading back into the first round for him.
I know we're going to get to the Max Crosby stuff later, but would you do, if it was Crosby for a first, a second, and DJ Moore, what does that accomplish what you want?
Yeah.
Because, like, I to me, like, that's the most logical trade.
Well, you could go, I mean, that let's look at that. Like, if you trade Crosby for, a, like, it would be a first this year, next year, it doesn't even really matter.
Yeah.
But let's say they do that. Let's just say they're future picks. That way we can kind of just kick that can down the road. They trade a future, maybe there's two first, you know, down the road. A first or a second, two future first, whatever the case may be, DJ Moore. So you go Mendoza at one, which they're going to do, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, we're kicking around the idea, what would we do? They're going to take Mendoza. I'm pretty convinced of that. And the betting favorite, like, you look at the odds. And, like, the way they're speaking, too. Like, they went to the national championship game so Brady could talk to him. You know what I mean? So they're going to take him. But if they made a trade like that, so where now you have Ginty, you have Bowers, top two tight end in football. You have DJ Moore, who's a good receiver. Like, maybe he can be a little diva-ish at times, but a lot of receivers are. Like, that's a good player. And then what if you just use that second-round pick you have on the best receiver that's there, whether it's Concepcion, whether it's Boston, whether it's Malachi Fields. I've seen him. Like, some people have him going in the first round all of a sudden.
I think that's going to drop because he ran a 4.61.
Okay, so he's kind of Keon Coleman-y.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he's a really talented player, and he shined at the Senior Bowl. So I was surprised when people started putting him in the first, but I like where you're going with this. Like,
so yeah, you just take the best receiver there. Like, it doesn't even matter what the name is.
Yeah.
So, like, we're just kicking around, like, what the team looks like. So you go, you make that trade. You got Mendoza as your quarterback. You have Ginty as your running back. You have Brock Bowers. You have a DJ Moore, who is a bona fide NFL receiver. Like, where do we put him? Doesn't matter. Bona fide receiver. And then you take the best rookie receiver that you have there in the second round to where that offense is pretty dangerous.
Yeah, and I kind of like some of the guys from last year still. I mean, Trey Tucker, in terms of just being
solid.
An option. I'm still really intrigued by the kid they took last year from TCU, Jack. Is it Beck or Betch?
I think it's Beck.
I'm intrigued by him still as an option for them. So, like, you can quickly see how an offense, the skill positions around Mendoza are lining up with what you want to build. It's then about protecting him and building up a defense with it.
Yeah.
But I think you can get there pretty quickly with him.
Especially on the offense side. It might take a while to build up the defense. But, like, that might be an offense that's ready to go from day one. Like, you just have to bring your quarterback along, which is tough. Like, you're not going to have a great rookie season. It's very rare. Like, I think Cam Ward's very good. Didn't have a great rookie season. Bryce Young started to turn the corner a little bit. C.J. Stroud's had, like, this Benjamin Button, like, arc to his quarterback career, which is kind of weird, but yeah, it's hard for rookie quarterbacks to be good, but you would have the pieces in place for him to have some success.
Yeah, 100%.
713-780-ESPN. So here's my like thought that I had earlier looking at I was going to save this for later, but might as well just talk about it now. Everybody's kind of projecting the Titans to go with a wide receiver with that first pick that they have. Mm-hmm. It depends on where you see, but some people have like, "Gabe, we need a weapon for Cam Ward." Why not? And you also, here's the other point to this. A lot of people are saying Jeremiah Love's the best player in this draft. So people think that Jeremiah Love's the best player in the draft. People think that the Titans need to get a weapon for Cam Ward. Why wouldn't you just take the running back? Why wouldn't you just take Love over any of these receivers?
I think he is the best player in the draft, and I think it makes a lot of sense. The Titans are now the betting favorite to take Jeremiah Love.
Okay, so that's kind of where my mind's going.
Yeah, it's plus 200 Titans, plus 275 Commanders are the top two right now. But I think it makes sense. I mean, I've seen Love, you know, projected to go three to the Cardinals.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe the other people are having this thought too then.
So, like, it feels like after his 4.36 that he ran that he has catapulted into, maybe he's going to go top five and not make it to the Saints or to the Chiefs. But I'm with you. Like, it to me, he is – he brings you explosive plays, and he can do it by just catching the ball out of the backfield or being handed to. I think it would be a nightmare for this division because I think he's a superstar in the making.
So many people say that. Like, what is his upside as a receiver, do you think?
ETN.
Okay, so what, like 70 catches a year?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you think he's the best player in the draft, if you think that he can be very impactful in the passing game, he can maybe catch upwards of 70 passes a year, which ETN's like his career high is 60, so maybe 60 is the better number. But if you think that he's that good and can help you in the receiving game, why would you pass up on that for a receiver?
I don't know.
And I get the whole I understand the counter-argument. The counter-argument is, well, receivers make more money than running backs, so you're not getting the financial savings whenever you take a running back for instead of a receiver for. I hear you on that. That's a valid point. You always hear, like, you don't want to draft a running back that high. Well, why not if he's going to help out your offense so much?
I agree. And, like, to me, this wide receiver class, I mean, you can take Carnell Tate there. I think that would be a fine option for the Titans, but I like Love.
What would you rather have?
I'd rather have Jeremiah Love.
I'd rather have Love than Tate. Yeah. And I totally understand why you draft receivers higher than running backs. But if the whole point is you want to help out your quarterback with this offensive piece, why wouldn't you take the better offensive piece?
You take the better offensive piece.
I think he's going to go high.
I think he goes top five.
What, can I get odds on him going top five anywhere?
I'm sure you can.
Because I think that I've talked myself into it.
Because each website's a little bit different about what they're offering for the draft right now. But I mean, the thing is, too, he only had 433 carries in college, where like Ashton Jeanty, as a comparison, had 750.
Yeah,
so his workload is way different than it is. And you know, this last year, not that you'd want to do this in the NFL, but like Jadarian Price was the kick returner for Notre Dame. Love could do it too.
You wouldn't want to do that.
You wouldn't want to, but like, no, you can use him in a million different ways. I think it's a home run pick for the Titans if they make it. So I'm in on him being a top five guy.
Tell them boys to tighten up.
There you go. Who says tighten up like Jeremiah Love?
I also just don't want him to be a chief.
Would you rather him be a chief or a Titan, though?
I guess for his success, I'd rather him be a chief.
Oh, okay. You're looking at it from his success. I was looking at it from a selfish Houston point of view.
I'm trying to think. I'm looking at it from both ways a little bit. Like, selfishly, from a Houston perspective, I would not want him in Tennessee.
Yeah.
From an NFL perspective.
Both are bad.
Both are bad, honestly. I mean, Chiefs is probably worse.
I think from a Texans perspective, it'd be better if he's in Tennessee. Because
yes.
I still think you're better than Tennessee with him. Like, I understand he's good. I don't think he's good enough to make Tennessee better than you. But if he gets to Kansas City and he's a stud, and then Mahomes comes back and he's a stud again, it raises the bar in the conference.
He's essentially, in a weird way, he's kind of Travis Kelce's replacement in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's a very weird way to say that.
But like, in terms of like not having, you know, the dynamic wide receivers that you have and being able to have someone that's reliable,
yeah,
either in the run game or the backfield, the way Travis Kelce's been so reliable to catch the stuff in the middle of the field, Love can replace that production in a different way for the Chiefs.
Right.
But yeah, so we'll see. I mean, the Cardinals one would be weird to me now that they don't have a quarterback. Feels like that's where I don't agree with taking a running back. I think you should have, like with Jeanty last year, you didn't have a quarterback in place. I get why you took him, but that to me is where it doesn't totally make sense, where this would be a compliment to Cam Ward,
yeah,
and I get the long-term vision of that.
Chucky says if Tyreek goes to KC and he's a stud, yeah, would they get Tyreek cheap and then you draft Jeremiah Love? That'd be pretty nasty.
Andy Reid was talking about not sure when Tyreek's going to be ready to go.
Yeah, I think that might have been playing a little gamesmanship.
A little coy?
Though. Yeah, it might have been a little gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Junkie, how can you take any of Branham's quarterback takes with him thinking Will Levis is going to be good? What a joke. I didn't say Will Levis was going to be good. You're putting words in my mouth. I said that I think he has the most talent in that draft class. That's what I said, which is kind of the same thing. And Will Levis was good. He had moments, and then he got hurt. And then he's going to sign with the Vikings, and Kevin O'Connell is going to bring him back from the grave.
You'll see.
I'm not wrong. I'm just early.
Just early.
Not wrong. I'm just early. Casario's been actually read that on the other side. Let's look at the Texans offseason agenda when we come back. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Hey, Texas hockey fans. Joe George here. Flight by Yuengling, proud partner of the Dallas Stars. We'll be at McIntyre's in Webster on the NASA Parkway today. In about 20, 30 minutes, they will be out there. And you can stop by to register to win a flyaway trip to see the Stars take on the Philadelphia Flyers on March 29th and snag some exclusive Flight by Yuengling gear. That's today at the McIntyre's and Webster on the NASA Parkway. All you got to do, show up, register to win. You can win a trip that includes two tickets, airfare, and hotel. See the Stars take on the Philadelphia Flyers on March 29th.
ESPN.
97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Get ready. Bracket Madness is coming soon. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Golden Nugget Lake Charles, and our supporting sponsors, Two Creeks Crossing Resort and Republic Boot Company. Be on the lookout. It is March, after all. Always get a kick out of John Rothstein. You ever see these where, like, war's breaking out? And, like, John Rothstein's like, it's March.
Yeah, he don't care. He's in his own little world. It's
March, World War III. It's March.
It's March, baby.
12 hours till March. So funny. I think it's my favorite bit on the internet. 713-780-ESPN. What if the Texans trade up for Love? Okay. They trade up for Love. I'd be surprised if they did it now that they traded for Montgomery. I don't think it's on the table unless he slides and then Casera is like, screw it. Let's go get him.
I just don't know. I struggle to envision a world in which he gets past nine.
Yeah. I don't think it's in the cards. I don't see the Texans trading into the top 10 for a running back.
Is that accurate?
Maybe not. Nick Casera is aggressive, man. And Nick Casera does value running backs. Like, people always say, like, Nick Casera doesn't value running back. How? What do you mean he doesn't value running backs? He went aggressively at Saquon Barkley and was a couple of million dollars away from signing him. He traded for Joe Mixon, and I understand that it was a late-round draft pick, but he was about to be cut, so you could have just let him be cut. You also redid his contract. You traded up for Woody Marks last year, like, pretty premium draft capital for a running back, and then yesterday you traded a fourth-rounder for David Montgomery. I do think Nick Casera puts a premium on running back.
Yeah, I don't think we can rule out them taking a running back in the first three rounds, even after this month.
I would rule it out in the first two rounds.
Okay.
Yeah, I would rule it out in the first two rounds, maybe three. Maybe three. I don't think that they'll take a running back in the first two rounds.
Yeah, I think it's just, I guess it depends on Woody Marks and what they think of him. But, I mean, them trading up for Love, like, it'd be awesome. But it's just.
Yeah. It was more likely before yesterday's trade. It was probably 3% before yesterday's trade. Maybe that might be too high. Maybe it was 1% before yesterday's trade. And now it's like a
0.001.
Yeah. It's a fraction of that.
It was a fun idea when the Texans looked like they were clearly going to be on the outs, like, before the three-game Davis Mills win streak, and the first mock drafts were coming out and the Texans were picking 14th or 15th. Uh-huh. And people were mocking Jeremiah Love there. That made sense.
Yeah.
And now
Texans won and then Love started to climb.
Yeah. But I wish.
Nick actually hates running backs. According to what? Like, give me context. I just proved my point. Prove yours. I already read that one. Branham should have to drink coffee with mayonnaise in it for a month due to the Levis stick. What makes you think I don't? I've drinking some fatty coffee before. Fatty coffee.
Have you really?
Yeah, I've had fatty coffee. Not with mayonnaise, though. Like, with the whole... Remember when that was, like, a thing? Like, the fatty coffee where you would put butter in it?
No?
Yeah, that was the thing for a while. People were drinking fatty coffee. Maybe even protein. They might have been, like, mixing protein and butter in it.
I mean, I get the protein.
Heavy cream. Yeah. It's like a fatty coffee thing. It was like a keto thing.
I mean, I've done the protein lattes at Starbucks. I don't know if it's good or not. I mean,
well, you can't taste protein if you get unflavored.
Yeah, but
I've mixed protein into my coffee. You can't taste it. Sometimes it gets a little grimy, but...
But no, I never did, like, the butter in my coffee.
I didn't like it. It was pretty gross.
Yeah, I don't. I get why the reasoning behind it, but I like my coffee too much to ruin it.
Yeah, we should trade for Burrow.
I agree.
That'd be cool. I like Jonah Coleman or Nick Singleton as a running back addition. Any preferences? Both of those names are on my radar for, like, a late round draft pick should they get there. I wouldn't be opposed. I want a rookie running back. I just don't want it in the first three rounds.
I like Singleton.
You know, remember I went to talk to Lance the other day
mm-hmm.
about running backs? I was trying to get intel on best ball drafts. And I was like, hey, give me a running back or a skill position player. Actually, I said skill position player. I said, give me a skill position player that isn't being looked at that closely right now that's about to have his stock soar based on, like, combine or whatever. Because I'm trying to buy these guys low before they take off. And the name he gave me was Mike Washington.
And he's the guy who ran, like...
He's the guy whose stock has soared.
Yeah.
In the combine. So Lance knows ball.
He does know ball. I like the other Penn State running back too, Catron Allen.
Oh yeah, he's been a guy that's been on my radar.
And I saw a Texans mock draft today. I can't remember who put it out. They had Le'Veon Moss. The Texans taking him in the 7th.
You were looking at a 7-round mock draft.
It was just a Texans mock draft.
Oh, okay. So, it's not credible. I don't like those things.
Okay.
Because a lot of the places that do it, they don't have a very good grade on players and like where they go. And then all these people that do those mock draft thingies, they game it. They game it by like trading all these picks and stuff.
Yeah, I they all kind of do it. Like
I do it, I have a rule. I have a house rule whenever I do them.
What's that?
I think I wish we would apply this house rule period to everybody. I think they should eliminate the trade from them.
It's just so hard to predict, right? Like Lance has trades in his latest mock draft. No, he doesn't. He has the Texans trading back into the first round to get a second first round pick. But
I saw another mock that had him trading out today. Jordan Reed's.
Now, see, the Texans is almost one where it's like, hey, we can probably bet on the Texans making a trade. So just, are they going to go out or are they going to come back in?
Yeah.
At this point, but it does maneuver. And even if you listen to like Mel Kiper, I was listening to his recent podcast after his mock draft dropped him in Field of Eights, and he was talking about kind of gaming it to get Jeremiah Love to the Chiefs. Hmm. And it's like, oh, that's not really the exercise.
No.
And even when you hear him talk about, oh, well, I want to make a splash here. And I think we'll talk about his mock today if we get to it, but
probably not going to happen.
Like this was before the Montgomery move was having the Texans take Jadarian Price in the first round. And they're basically openly admitting that they're doing it for clicks. And it's like, well, that's not really the purpose of the exercise for the normal people.
Well, I think that is the purpose of
it's the purpose of their exercise. It's not why I read them. I'm not there to – like, I want, like, real information.
Well, that's why mock drafts probably aren't that credible.
Yeah.
Junkie, first-round draft time drops from 10 to 8 minutes this year. How will that affect Casario's Willen and Dillon? Probably not that much. I mean, Casario's going to, he's going to be kicking the tires well before the draft even starts and have all different types of scenarios. They'll just come to a head sooner. I don't think it'll impact his Willen and Dillon. Junkie, talk about baseball. This bores me. Do we look like people who aren't defiant? Like, I'm defiant by nature. Like, you tell me to do something, it makes me want to do the opposite.
Agreed.
So, like, that's not the way you get us to talk about baseball.
Spring training.
Woo. Hey, don't disrespect spring training.
Meh. I think it's not. I don't think it's disrespecting.
No disrespect. Don't do that.
It's just an accurate statement of what spring training is.
Yeah, but I'm very defiant.
ESOC at first tonight. Big day.
Well, yeah, might talk about that later. Jimmy Ward cut, which, you know, why did they not do that last offseason? Kind of weird. And then they haven't cut Joe Mixon yet, which probably is just a formality. But I don't know. I don't know if it's interesting or not. Probably a nothing burger, but it's kind of interesting they haven't cut him yet.
Yeah, I'm – there's no chance he's back, right?
The only chance I think he's back is if he's just like, hey, you guys took care of me last year. I'm willing to come back on a super friendly contract. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, that would be a wild running back room. Joe Mixon, Woody Marks, and Tavon Montgomery.
Yeah, I think it's probably just more of a technicality. You know, maybe you're just waiting for intel. There's no hurry to do it. So, yeah, I don't really know.
The only thing I wonder with that is if there's anything we don't know about within his contract, within the injury, that they can get out of, say, even...
Yeah, but they could have done that last year. They could have done that last year.
No, I know, but now. Like, the reason why it hasn't happened just yet.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's something.
Last year they were hopeful and taking care of him, but now there's not a reason to.
So, Aaron Wilson yesterday, before the Texans made the trade, he had some agenda items for the Texans. Texans prepared to make Will Anderson one of the highest-paid defensive players in NFL history.
Good.
Not a surprise. I thought it was interesting that it said one of and not the highest-paid player, so maybe that's actually good. You know, you don't have to pay him top dollar. Maybe get a little bit of savings. But, you know, kind of to be expected. He said they're interested in Kenneth Walker. Also going to be interested in Rico and Travis Etienne, which I think those are gone now that this trade has happened.
100%.
Texans want to add 2 to 3 new linemen, including a potential new starter at center like Cade Mays, which I think that is magnified now that you traded Titus Howard. They will look into Colts right tackle Braden Smith. I will look into how to be a millionaire. Texans and Ed Ingram have mutual interest, but it'll be $13 million plus, ooh, most likely.
That's pricey.
Is it, though?
I mean, it's
top 10 guard money, probably, at right guard?
Just compared to the play. It's not. I mean, what the market is right now, it's going to be a good value.
Yeah. Christian Kirk is likely gone.
Good.
Not surprised there. Sheldon Rankins and the Texans have mutual interest in returning.
Okay.
Which is a little different than I thought because, you know, they talked about going younger there. But I also thought that they would bring back one of their veteran guys. Like, a lot of veterans are, you know, going to be free agents. You know, maybe he's the veteran you keep while still also trying to get younger there. Because DeMeco likes to play a bunch of guys anyways. EJ Speed, Trent Brown, and Tommy Townsend also have mutual interest. Trent Brown would be great because he could be your swing tackle. And then if you strike out in the draft, kind of like they struck out at guard last year, he could just be your starting right tackle for a year. Now, it's scary because of his injury concerns, but you could go that route.
I like all three of those guys coming back.
Yeah. And then Danielle Hunter wants another year added to his deal, which I think can help you with the cap. Because if you extend a year, you can kind of spread it out a little bit more, and it can help you in cap saving. So I'm not opposed to that.
No, I mean, I love having Danielle Hunter here. So I would, you know, the longer he can be a Houston Texan, the better. So that one to me is, if you can keep him and Will Anderson together for the next now 2 years, that's A-plus work for the Texans. Yeah. So I would be all in on that move.
Junkie has texted us 3 times in 3 minutes. Why is a Joe Burrow trade not being taken seriously?
I think they must not think their text is going through.
The Bengals don't want to trade him. And in fact, you're gone. That's too many texts. That's too many texts.
You are get out of here.
That's the quickest way to get booted, I think, by me. Is to spam our text with something that you want to ask. Ask once. If it's any good, we'll get to it. I brag about you texters. I call y'all the most sophisticated listenership in all of Houston sports radio. Joe might be right. It might be the most smartest.
I think that was a premature ejection. But, you know,
what do you mean? He texted 4 times in 3 minutes.
He might have just been trying. You don't know if that to me comes off as a, I don't think my text is going through. Like, on his actual phone.
Bro, it goes back to 10 minutes ago.
Oh, see, I didn't see the one 10 minutes ago. I saw the three that came in at 2:31.
And it's not my job to police and guess if they're having technology issues. That's on them. If they're on a cricket, that's on them. That's not on me. I'm not going to be the gatekeeper of technology. You go catch a boot. Get on out of here. Tag day in the NFL, Joe.
From the woman, by the way.
What was that?
What was that?
Play that again.
I don't take no orders from the woman, by the way.
We don't do that. Where did you get that from? That's not a Jeremy and Joe drop. Who's that one from?
John Lynn.
Oh, yeah. That one doesn't go here.
That tracks.
Yeah, that does track. That one doesn't go here. Tag day in the NFL. We got a trans tag. We got a franchise tag. We got a cut. We got a retirement. We got a not tag. Lots to talk about. Certainly not baseball like that one junkie wanted us to talk about. 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. But you know something that all of you would like to know about, talk about? Own well and saving money on property taxes. We know that home ownership and property management is a headache. It is not fun, and it is expensive. Cost you an arm and a leg. That's where Own Well comes in and can help you. Property taxes, fighting that is a hassle. You have to deal with maybe expensive lawyers. You got to track down permits. All of the stuff you don't want to do. All the stuff you don't have time to do. But you know what you have time for? Own Well, ownwell.com, where you can head to right now and sign up in just 3 minutes. And Own Well is going to be in your corner fighting for you. This tax season. I used Own Well last year. I'm using them again this year. Last year, they saved me some money, and I can't wait to see how much money they save me again. Plus, that compound savings I get year after year is exciting. And they make the process so easy. You just go to the website, sign up in 3 minutes, and then literally you don't have to do anything else. You can help out with some pictures here and there, but you don't have to do anything else. And then they email you every step along the way to tell you where they're at in the process. And then at the end of the day, they're going to say, here you go. Here's how much money we saved you. And then that's the first time you have to pay. It's risk-free, no upfront cost, and you're only going to pay if you save. So really, if you don't use ownwell.com, you're being pretty irresponsible. You're not really being an adult because they're going to save you money, and who doesn't want money? New customers can expect to save, on average, $774 a year by signing up. What are you waiting for? Ownwell has an 88% success rate in reducing property taxes. What are you waiting for? 140,000 Houston properties use Ownwell. Why wouldn't you be one? So don't wait. Deadline to protest May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Risk-free, no money up front. Only pay if you save. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com. And let them know I sent you when you complete your sign-up at ownwell.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
So we got a trans tag, a franchise tag, a cut, a not tag, and a retirement today in the NFL. Trans tag for Daniel Jones, Joe. $37.8 million, which is pretty smart. I kind of like the way that they handled this because, like, why franchise tag him? If somebody wants to be like, hey, here you go. Here's two first-round picks for Daniel Jones. Okay, thank you. He's also hurt, right? So no one's ever going to do that. And it's $6 million cheaper to transition tag him than franchise tag them. I actually like the way that Ballard handled the Daniel Jones contract.
Yeah, and they have the right to match, too. So if they, you know, don't want to get the two first-round picks and they are good with the deal that Daniel Jones signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They wouldn't match.
You don't think so?
Nah. If somebody's like, yeah, let's take Daniel Jones and here you go, here's two first-round picks, the Colts would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that this was the player they went with. Just because, you know, the reporting after has been that, like, they're still expected to come to, you know, terms on a deal. I thought maybe Alec Pierce would have made more sense. If they thought that, you know, they can get a deal done with Daniel Jones.
That's a lot of money for Alec Pierce.
I know, but they're going to miss him when he's gone.
I mean, who's your quarterback?
I think they're going to get a deal done with Daniel Jones anyways, you know, it seems like. So,
I mean, that much for Alec, for Pierce? You tag him?
I think I would have bet on Daniel Jones coming back with the injury, honestly.
I like Alec Pierce. I think he's a nice piece. I'm not like, you know, put all the chips in the middle of the table for Alec Pierce.
Yeah, it's just, I guess you have to just decide which one you're more comfortable with getting back. And getting the quarterback makes sense back. I don't know if he's going to have, I think, to what you said, I don't know how kind of a market he's going to have if teams are even going to try to do this.
No, I don't think so. I think he'll play on this trans tag.
Because what?
Unless they do an extension with him or something.
They tried, Lamar got this, right?
Yeah.
Or was he just an open free agent?
No, that was he. Ooh, I kind of forget.
I actually think he was just an open free agent, no.
I thought it was a transitional tag.
But, I mean, it makes sense to have him back. Like, you need a quarterback. Dan Jones was good last year. I'm still not a full believer in him long term, but I think what they're probably going to get a deal done with in terms of length is going to be fine.
They gave him a non-exclusive franchise tag. So I don't really know what the difference is between that and a franchise and transitional tag, and it also just might not exist anymore because that was 23, so maybe the CBA is slightly different now. I don't know. Or maybe it was just the way they worded the transitional tag back then.
It looks like it's what the transition tag is now.
Yeah, I think they might have just changed the wording.
Yeah.
That's a better way to do it to avoid confusion.
Yes.
Which is dumb that nobody just yeah. But there was also corruption then.
Yeah, I mean, people thought it was collusion, full on. I mean, It was crazy to me that the Atlanta Falcons didn't just say, okay.
Yeah.
Like, we'll do this. We'll go sign Lamar Jackson right now. And so he just went back to Baltimore. It made no sense with Lamar when he hit open free agency.
The J-E-T-S Jets, they slapped the franchise tag on Breece Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So $14.3 million there. Surprise here at all?
No, not really. I don't think any of the tags that came down are a surprise. I mean, with Pickens, Kyle Pitts, and Breece Hall, they all make sense.
Yeah. I'm sure Breece Hall is a little frustrated to be a Jet. We'll see if he does anything because of this. Also, there's kind of a Houston perspective from this. There's a local lies here. This kind of shows you the running back market. Like, Breece Hall is getting 14.3. Kenneth Walker's probably going to get $13, $14 million. Mm-hmm. The running back market is thinning out. We already saw Williams re-sign with Dallas. We see Breece Hall. He gets the tag from the Jets. So it reduces the amount of quality running backs in free agency. It also kind of gets you where the cost is going to be for some of the top free agents. And we know that David Montgomery's playing at 6. Mm-hmm. So I think it shows you, A, David Montgomery's contract is very team-friendly, which then, B, is why they ended up trading a fourth-rounder for him. It was very cost-associative here.
100%.
And as to why they gave up a fourth.
And again, and now you have a guy who you know you have him because you traded for him. What if ETN didn't want to come here?
Exactly.
What if Kenneth Walker didn't want to come here? Well, then you're just left with your pants around your ankles and you got no running back besides Willie Marks.
That's a good way to put it. Kyler Murray cut
by
Arizona, which he took to social media. Twitter is where I'm seeing it, and said thank you, basically. To everyone that supported me and showed kindness to my family and I during my time in Arizona, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I wanted no more than to be one of the one to end the 77-year drought for this organization. That's so funny. He's like giving them strays on the way out. 77 years.
So where do you think he ends up?
I don't know. It's tough. Hopefully he's the backup. Maybe the Texans or the Astros. That's where I want him. He's the best. He's the best active athlete walking planet Earth.
I think it's gonna be Minnesota.
I don't see him as an O'Connell guy. Like, O'Connell to me is more about like accuracy and precision, and that's not Kyler Murray. Like, it's on schedule, accuracy, precision. Kyler's none of those things.
Jets. Steelers?
See, the Jets have been rumored with the Malik Willis. No, I think Rodgers goes back to Pittsburgh. Miami.
I also read something from on Pro Football Talk yesterday, that from Matthew Berry, I think, wrote it, that apparently the Steelers are totally fine with Will Howard if Rodgers doesn't come back, which is interesting. I mean, he was a fine prospect coming out of college.
That was the quarterback that Pat McAfee saw throw the ball over the building.
Was it?
Yeah. That's weird. I don't like Will Howard that much. Not as a starter.
No, I think he's a fine backup. And maybe he's your transitional guy as you tank for once and go for a real quarterback next year.
I think it's going to be Rodgers.
I kind of lean that way, too, which is I kind of can't believe that we're going to see Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers reunited this point. Minnesota, the Jets, makes sense.
I don't think Minnesota makes sense. I disagree with you on that. I think it'll be Miami or the Jets.
The other reason why I don't really get the reports coming out of the combine with the Vikings that there's reportedly mutual interest in Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
If they're interested in Anthony Richardson, why wouldn't they be interested in Kyler?
They would. You're right.
Like, it's like I don't get why you would like one and not the other. I don't get why you would like Anthony Richardson at all.
You know what'd be scary? What if the Niners just trade Mac Jones and then they sign Kyler to that vet minimum?
Oh, he just rehabs for a year in San Francisco?
And Brock's going to get hurt. Like, Brock is tiny. He gets hurt all the time.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else. I mean, I wouldn't go to Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be in the quarterback market.
I don't think they really are either. Unless it's like Kirk Cousins.
And then Drew Dahlman retired. Stinks for you. He's
late
20s. He's a good football player.
He's 27, made his first Pro Bowl, 3-year, $42 million contract, and he said, nope.
Must hate football.
I guess so.
Must love life.
Yeah.
And then Trey Henderson, not tag, said goodbye to Cincy. Well, he's going to be a hot commodity, obviously.
He is. I mean, he's going to be one of the biggest targets in free agency, which, you know, we'll see. I'm curious what his market looks like.
I think he'll get big money short term.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, I mean, he's going to be the most popular guy, especially if this Crosby thing ends up panning out with not a trade.
Right.
You know, if it ends up being he just stays in Las Vegas or even does get moved, like someone's going to want to go get Trey Hendrickson. Cowboys? They can make the money work?
That'd be interesting.
I mean, for Crosby or Hendrickson makes a ton of sense.
Yep. Yeah, it does.
AJ would like that.
AJ's a Cowboy fan. Fearmonger and Ken Rosenthal. We got more fearmongering going on with the Houston Astros, and it makes me sick. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
NCAA March Madness is coming to Houston. Attendance encouraged, passion mandatory. Get your tickets now at ncaa.com/MBB tickets.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, so we got some fear-mongering Ken Rosenthal going on, 713-780-ESPN. So Ken Rosenthal, this was basically like the greatest hits of Chandler Rome this offseason, quite frankly, which we know that they work together, they're colleagues, but I've seen them like co-report things, which is always kind of weird to me. Like, how do you co-report something?
One person gets final details that the other person doesn't have.
And then somebody else gets, like, the initial stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
One of them's the closer. One's the starter.
Is the bigger name the closer or the starter?
Closer.
So Ken Rosenthal would be the closer here?
I think so.
Okay. That makes sense because, I mean, this article from Ken Rosenthal, fear-mongering, reads a lot like Chandler Rome's, like, little by little this entire offseason, And then Ken Rosenthal just kind of collected all of what Chandler Rome was saying this offseason and like, put it into one big piece.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe Ken Rosenthal's closing the stance that it is untenable. So, anyways, Ken Rosenthal, The Athletic headline today. Astros still need to clear infield logjam, and Isak Paredes trade is the obvious move. Okay. So, you start reading through the article here on The Athletic, Joe. The very first sentence, and it doesn't take long for it to read like a Chandler Rome highlight piece. The Houston Astros infield surplus is untenable.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the first sentence.
It is.
What is the word that Chandler Rome has been using all offseason?
Untenable.
Untenable. So it continues to be the word that they use. And again, it reads like the Rome greatest hits. The very next sentence, general manager Dana Brown needs to resolve it by opening day, or he will create tension in his clubhouse and put Joe Espada in an uncomfortable spot.
We've heard that one before, too.
Right?
Yeah.
Fear-monger. Look, and look, I don't really disagree with that one. Like, I do think that it makes it more difficult for Joe Espada, no doubt. Like, if you could flip Isak Paredes for a similar bat that plays left field, okay, mm-hmm. it does make it easier for Joe Espada. I agree to that. Now, my pushback on that is, like, it's going to create tension. Okay, yeah, probably, but there's tension in every clubhouse in baseball. Like, how are you so brand new that you don't think tension is in every single clubhouse or locker room in sports? Like, how do you not have the feel that happens everywhere?
Do you want to finish before I give you my theory on this?
Do you have, like, a full theory or just, like, that specific thing?
I have a full theory on that.
All right, I'll finish then.
Okay.
So that part's kind of like whatever. All teams and clubs
agree.
Have tension.
They do.
In whatever. And that's why they're called managers, because they're managing the tension. They're managing the team. They're managing the personalities.
That's
they're
really their
managing
job.
Managing all the ebbs and flows of a 162 game season. Joe Espada is not unique in that he would be in an uncomfortable spot. All managerial positions are pretty uncomfortable. Next bullet point here. Owner Jim Crane, forever hell-bent on winning, is not likely to accept an explanation of, sorry, Jim, no trade made sense, if an overstuffed infield creates any form of dissension and compromises the club. So my pushback here is, why would you, if we think that Isak Paredes is a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10, why would you take back an outfielder that's a 5?
Yeah, I agree. I push back here, too. I also don't know if the... I mean, how much tension would there have to be on a scale of 1 to 10 to where Jim Crane would say, hey, this is a problem. Why didn't you just get rid of him? I think it'd have to be a 10.
And I think, like,
at least an 8.
And then the other thing is, like, sidebar to that, Isak Paredes is valuable. Like, that's the whole point that he would be the guy traded, because he has more value than Correa. He's got more value than Walker. He's cheap. He's got this year and next year on his contract at a very affordable rate, especially for what he gives you with his offense. So if you wanted to give Isak Paredes away, you could have already done it. There is a club that would have given you 70% on the dollar. It still probably would give you 70% on the dollar for Isak Paredes. Mm-hmm. There's probably teams in baseball that would give you 90% of the dollar for Isak Paredes. But they don't want to do that because, yeah. Like you say in this article, Ken, that Jim Crane is hell-bent on winning. So if you're hell-bent on winning, why would you trade a player for pennies on the dollar and not his full value? Because that, in turn, makes it more difficult to win.
Yeah, I think that statement there specifically is very hypocritical.
Yeah.
In what Jim Crane wants to accomplish. Like, Jim Crane's a businessman. I don't think he cares about feelings. I think he cares about winning.
Oh, no, he doesn't care about feelings at all.
And having Isak Paredes, unless you're getting a valuable return, trading him for pennies does not equal winning.
No.
It makes your team intentionally worse because of feelings.
Next bullet point, barring an injury, hardly the desired solution, but one that you have to be honest about. Like, Altuve's old, Walker's old, Correa hasn't been an Iron Man, Jeremy mm-hmm. Pena had injury issues last year. Yordan Alvarez obviously has his injury issues, but if you ignore the years where he's injury prone, Chandler Rome thinks he's an Iron Man. But he says, barring an injury, hardly the desired solution. The team could be looking at a mess.
Yes.
Okay. That's a scintillating word there. It's a little sizzle, right? Could be looking at a mess. Or all of them are good and you're just rotating the guys around. Like, okay, it's a little uncomfortable for people, but like, you can produce still. They're professionals.
Yeah. I also find this one strange because this is another guy that's been critical of the Astros for not adding enough starting pitching depth in the past and saying you have to bank on injuries because they're pitchers. Have you looked at the guy's history? on this roster and their injury history, I think we can bank on all of them getting hurt.
Right.
Like, it's weird. It's a weird contradiction to me because they're not having Tommy John that you don't bank on injury. But with pitching, you should bank on injury. It's very weird to me that some people, not just, you know, Ken Rosenthal here, view position players with injury history versus pitchers who have no injury history and just get hurt all the time, how they view them so differently and how you should approach the depth of an organization.
Well, people are very, very often not consistent in their thought. Next one, under the current setup, Pena and Alvarez are the only Astros likely to be in the lineup most days.
Disagree
maybe,
here.
Maybe semantics, but I think all of them will be in the lineup most days. Like, what does most days mean? Like, more than not, right?
Yeah.
All of them will be in the lineup more than not.
Yes. Altuve, Correa, they'll play most days.
Now, Walker. Maybe they play 140 games and not 150, but 140 is still most. 82 games is most. So, barring injury, they're all going to play most days.
Mm-hmm.
Forcing square pegs into round holes is never a desirable strategy. So more sensationalism there.
Do you think that seems focused on Paredes, like playing at first base tonight and second base during the season?
Maybe more second than first. Maybe Yordan in left too.
Yeah.
Fear mongering Ken Rosenthal. So Joe, you have a big takeaway on this?
I have a theory.
Let's hit that on the other side then. Joe's theory on this untenable infield surplus with fear mongering Ken Rosenthal after Chandler Rome did it all offseason. And some Astro hot takes as well. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You know it's not a fear mongering? Monument Chevrolet, that they have the all the vehicles you want at the price you want it at. That's not a fearmonger. That's a fact. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. They're transparent with you. They're not going to hassle you with the pricing. You're going to get your car shopping done fast. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 5 decades. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families just keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a world-class culture. Tell them your budget. They're going to work hard to meet it. They have the vehicle you want at the price you want it at. Monument Chevrolet does. Get that fair deal. Get that transparent deal, that no-hassle deal, without wasting your time in those stressful, aggravating negotiations. Stop by 225 and Bellway 8. Say hello to GM Jeff. GM Jeff's going to take care of you. He is a top shelf in the customer service game, and he is going to get you in that vehicle you want at the price you want it at. So stop by. Say hello to him. You can see their full inventory, monumentchevrolet.com. MonumentChevrolet.com, but better yet, go visit them in person. 225 Beltway 8. Tell Jeff I said hello over at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together, let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.